Hi everyone. I've said it before, but I will say it again. I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. I did very well not to sing that. Here's a Run Rabbiting rerun from the archive. We have an archive now. This one went out back in July and tells a story of what happens to children when they go on Jewish summer camps. Spoiler alert, they don't all become rabbis. Applications for RSY Netzer summer program are open now, so get in early and you can see the show notes for all the details. Enjoy.
RSY Netzer olami yeshlamus man livnot olam k'yehudim. RSY.
Singing over Zoom is so effective.
Yeah, I don't know how that would have sounded, but it was fun to do.
Rabbiting on. Rabbiting on.
Welcome back to Rabbiting On. As you can probably feel the energy and in the air, it is definitely summer and we're feeling it. And a time when many of our young people are off on summer camps or going on a Jewish summer event, hopefully with RSY Netzer. So this is a special Rabbiting On episode dedicated to our youth. Lovely to be, as always, with Rabbis Miriam and Debbie. Hi, both.
Hello.
I think we've got a bit giddy because it's just so hot, isn't it? It's just really hot.
I'm built for Siberia. I'm not built for this heat.
Yeah, I'm loving the heat, but it does make me feel like I'm on holiday. So then it's difficult to kind of urge myself to do anything of value.
So I had the unusual pleasure of interviewing my husband, Anthony, today because we thought he'd be a great person to talk about the importance of youth movements, given his journey. Whilst Brexit might have been a problem for some families, we are a healthy split in our family, 48-50 between whether our son should go on Habanim Draw Youth Movement or RSY Netzer. RSY. So we're going to listen to the conversation with Anthony and his experience of Jewish youth movements, and hopefully we can then have a conversation about our own experiences as well. Hi, Anthony.
Hello, Robert.
Welcome to the Rabbiting On podcast.
Thank you very much.
You're really passionate about youth movement and you're dedicated your whole life to it. So maybe let's just start at the beginning. And actually, I'm quite interested in this because I don't know all of the detail. Why did you go on youth movement? Why did you go on Habanim Draw to begin with?
Well, I grew up in Glasgow, as you know, and it basically Habo on a Sunday was just the thing that everyone did. And, you know, my sister went, my cousins went, and the generation before me, you know, my mum and my uncle and other family members went to the Bight, which was down near Langside. So we just kind of went there on a Sunday and it was fun. Just the feeling of being with lots of other young people and in this kind of cool space, which was basically falling down, was kind of our idea of fun. I guess one thing different about youth movements is that we were all there together. So it was all the different year groups, and never really would you have a kind of a 9-year-old in the same space as 16, 17-year-olds and all kind of there for the same thing, which was kind of, you know, to be Jews and have fun and to be in that environment. So there was also something quite bonding about that as well as an experience.
Yeah, it's quite unique, isn't it? Because like you always stay in your own bands, your age bands. It's great. And you always, when you're a young kid, you always love being with older kids. Like you just think they're so cool. And that's one of the unique things about the youth movements is that they're led by older children, which is terrifying looking back now. And you think they're really old. Then you look back and you're like, oh no, you know. But that's the beautiful thing is they're trained and they're passionate. And that's partly your journey. You went to a Jewish primary school, but then a non-Jewish secondary school.
That's right. Yeah.
So how did it fit? So obviously in primary school, I'm guessing like there was a lot of overlap with kids who went to Habo and who, you know, at school. What happened when you went to secondary school?
Neither my primary nor my secondary school experience was particularly positive. So actually having a place that, you know, that I could go, you know, in holidays, so in winters and summers and kind of weekends through the year, that always felt like a good space to be in.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, isn't it? For you and for so many, where formal education fails, informal education picks up the pieces and gives the confidence and the love that's maybe lacking in the formal setting. It's so powerful. I know you've got a lot of gratitude for it because it kind of gave you a lot, didn't it, as a child?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the majority of my value system, the kind of career choices that I've made, you know, all stems from my youth movement experience. You know, I don't know what life would be otherwise, but, you know, I can certainly pinpoint what I've done in my life as a direct product of what we did at the youth movement.
Yeah. What, in terms of value system, do you think is particularly you've carried on from there?
Things like, you know, social justice, you know, certainly in Habo was something that we were passionate about, kind of a love of Israel was something, you know, a country that I still feel very close to, but we were also kind of taught to question and to ask. It's about the action, right? There's the kind of values, the feelings that we have, but it's then the, you know, and then what? And I kind of find that in the youth movement world, it answers the and then what quite well, because it says, well, if you really care about, you know, socialist Zionism, then this is how you can do it. So certainly those are some of the values. And I think leadership as well, community, you know, joint culture, all things that I took away from the youth movement experience and still have today.
Yeah. Do you feel that you use a lot of your like Hadracha leadership training within work?
The first thing I got taught, you know, when I was running programs when I was a 15-year-old in Glasgow, which seems crazy thinking about it, that was that young, is to lead by example, you know. And I've always felt, you know, throughout any situation, whether it's work or life, if you're part of a team and you want that team to do something, then you've got to be leading, you know, by the side with people. In a youth movement world, we're set up to try and include everybody. I think all youth movements do an incredible job. You know, they essentially create safe spaces for young people to be young people. The only expectation that we have is be the best version of yourself that you can be. And we'll try and foster and support and encourage and nurture, but ultimately, you know, you've got to make the choices.
That's such a great interview. It's so interesting to hear sort of Anthony's journey from youth sort of participant to continuing that leadership. And I know that for me, RSY Netzer as my youth movement and going on summer camps, and there was so much of that kind of knowledge and skill base, but also just my love for Reform Judaism was so rooted in those summer camps and in that experience. What for you guys has, what have you taken into your life today from your youth movement experience growing up?
I mean, it's interesting. I see it in two very different ways. I think on the one hand, there's friendships are an absolute kind of massive part of who I am, and really, so my husband and I, Johnny and I, were in the same shichva, the same year group in RSY, but I was very involved in RSY Netzer up until kind of Israel tour was my kind of last formal sort of event with RSY, and then I did all of my hadracha, my kind of youth worker leadership training stuff directly for the synagogue I grew up in. So I was doing that stuff directly for Aleph rather than for RSY. And my now husband Johnny, his first event was RSY Israel tour, and then he was very into all of the leadership stuff and went on Shnat, on the year course. So when we met, there was this funny thing of kind of, we know all the same people, we just know them from different chapters in our lives. So that was a really lovely way of kind of not just getting together, but realizing that so many of our bits of our lives kind of knitted together because of the people that were so much part of that community. And what's great now is seeing the next generation piece, us all being so excited that our kids are taking on the mantle. So our son Ben is going on his first Shemesh, please God, this summer. And, you know, that's really lovely to think of what that opens up and the doors and the friendships that potentially opens up in his life as well. And the other stuff, I think it's really obvious when you're a rabbi that you will have been really influenced, whether it was a love of Israel or a love of Reform Judaism, but actually hearing it from Johnny. So whenever he leads a team meeting, he's a tax consultant. So you wouldn't expect a lot of hadracha, a lot of leadership training to come into that. But whenever he leads team meetings, somebody will say, gosh, you know, isn't it amazing that you feel so confident in those spaces? Or isn't it great that you're so good at helping us get to know each other? And it's like this armory of getting to know you games that kind of, you know, that aren't just for kids and aren't just for teenagers, but they meld so well into adult life as well. And they give you a real sense of it's okay to be you in this environment. And it's really important to draw out of other people what makes them who they are.
I think that's so beautiful and so powerful. And it's really great now to have a chance to step back and reflect. And immediately, Debbie, when you asked, I was transported to the Sternberg Center, which is like the heart of Reform Judaism. And as a young Mancunian going down to London, and with all my RSY mates who had been on, you know, summer camps with Shemesh and everything. And there was like a big event. I remember, you know, weekends away and sleeping on the floor at the Sternberg Center, as we all have. And also Debbie Friedman, Zichron Alivracha, was doing a concert there. And I remember having a moment, and I was, I don't know, 14. And it just confirmed that I was going to be a rabbi in that moment. It's a very intense experience. So this is just where I want to be. And I feel safe, I feel seen, I feel celebrated, and I feel inspired. And so like directly for me, being in those spaces allowed me to really embrace my Jewish identity and know that that's, I just wanted to be in it always.
It's quite funny listening to you talking about sleeping on the floor of the Sternberg Center, which of course they don't do today. They have much better facilities for weekends. But actually a lot of my memories are I did that stuff, but I also spent a lot of time going up to the northern events and also just going up for weekends to the north, because for some reason my kind of friendship group in RSY was the northerners, and you know, weekends in Leeds, and it really kind of opened up the Jewish world for me, and that it wasn't all just a northwest London bubble, that there were reformed Jews all around the country and thriving communities all around the country that we could be a part of and were networked into. I also, going to a girls' school, RSY was kind of the place where I got to hang out with people of both genders. It was, I think also I went to a school where there were a lot of Jews. It wasn't a Jewish school, but there were a lot of Jewish girls. But there was a kind of snobbishness about being Reform, and it was looked down on by quite a lot of the girls. I remember being quite defensive, especially when the JSOC used to get McDonald's in for lunch, but I wasn't Jewish enough. But in RSY, there was this totally safe space for me to be a full Reform Jew and to celebrate who I was, and the values that RSY Netzer continues to develop actually lead our movement in lots of ways. When I was working at Reform Judaism for the last 7 years before this job, you know, it was really clear that a lot of the policy decisions that our young leaders in RSY Netzer were taking at VEDA, which is their leadership conference of decision making, were really leading the way for us to take the next steps as well, whether that was about Jewish status or about vegetarianism and the environment. They're really crafting the leaders of tomorrow. And it's so exciting to see young people growing up through that and learning that they can own their Judaism in that way.
I'm fascinated to know if there's a kind of disproportionate number of people that have grown up in youth movements who have then gone into areas of work that take on a kind of social action, moral climate change kind of piece. I think one of the things that our youth movements teach us is that your voice can be heard, and you're never too young to expect your voice to be heard, and that you can make a difference, that issues aren't too big for you to solve. So, you know, certainly as a teenager on camp, it was a time where there was a lot of issues around Nestle products and them being baby milk being sold in developing countries, and the issues that caused was a big deal. And, you know, I think there wasn't that thing of like, well, Greta Thunberg is different, like she's other, that she can have her voice heard, but the rest of us can't. It was like we were all feeling that our voices could be the voice of change. And I'm impressed by the number of my contemporaries who grew up in RSY and LJY and other youth movements that are now fundraisers for charities, CEOs for charities, set up their own charities, a real sense of I can make a difference and I will.
And then there's that mad lot that became rabbis.
I mean, But we don't want to put people off sending their kids on camp in case they become a rabbi. We don't all become rabbis, I promise. My husband's got a really sensible job. Yeah.
Although actually, Miriam's husband, Johnny, and I ended up leading together on a birthright tour back in 1990,000 over the turn of the millennium. And again, I think that sense that RSY set us up to go off and use those skills in so many different ways, even to, you know, other Jewish spaces and cross-denominational spaces.
Right. He also led with Rabbi Neil James's wife, Michelle, who's now, you know, heading up the JLC. Like, you know, it makes that interwovenness and connectivity of communities so intense.
Yeah. It makes me a little bit sad, really, because I loved RSY Netzer, and I was in it from about the age of four. Well, I don't know. Early until Israel tour, and for various reasons just didn't carry on the path from there. And I so wish I could talk to my, what would I have been, 16-year-old self to say, this is something that you need to stay in, because I can see the difference, even when I started at rabbinic school, actually, of the people who had gone through RSY Netzer, who had just this sense of confidence in their Judaism, their sense of what their space was within the Judaism, and that they had, it was theirs. And I think I really struggled with that. And I think I can see that that would have been the key to it. And I'm like really conscious that I want Gabriel to be able to do that and to have that very core inner sense of activism. And, you know, I think the whole world's waking up, isn't it, to the fact that youth activism creates real change. We've got loads of different examples of young women, young men, people leading the way. And we've had it in our world for so long as well. I just think it's fantastic.
I'm interested because your kids, both of you, have kids at Jewish day schools. Mm. And I'm wondering if that will give them a different relationship to kind of the idea of youth movement. I think for me, one of the things, you know, Debbie, you were saying about it opening up doors to boys as well when you were at a girls' school, which was, you know, there was definitely that going on as a Henrietta Barnett girl for me as well. But I think there was something that was, I had another group of friends, right? There were like, I had my school friends and my shul friends, and they were really different. And I was able to go from kind of one group to another and allowed to be myself in either group. And I wonder if some of the kind of, I know we get in shul, some of the kind of school politics that then comes into synagogue in a way that certainly when I was growing up, we didn't really have, because far fewer of us were at Jewish day schools.
Yeah, I think it's a really important tool actually that RSY has in their artillery, if you like, that so many of our kids, that, you know, there are a limited number of spaces at progressive Jewish day schools. So our kids are at Orthodox Jewish day schools. RSY is a space where they can go and not assume that only girls light the candles and boys make chamotzi. I remember my daughter coming home in reception and saying, "Mommy, we're going to Amy's house tonight and there's no Abba, so who's going to make Kiddush?" And I was like, "You've seen me make Kiddush." And she's like, "Yeah, but we're different." Like, well, Amy can make Kiddush too, or I can make Kiddush, or Abba can make, like, plenty of people can make Kiddush tonight. It's fine. And for her to have a space where that's not weird, although she talks all the time about the fact that I'm a rabbi at school. But I think RSY actually fills a really important need in that space. They're not at the age yet of sleepaway camps, but, you know, coming to shul day camps here. On the other hand, I also feel it's really important for my kids particularly, and for all the kids who are at Jewish day schools, that there is also a space where they interact with non-Jews. I have a dream of a summer camp that is of faith, but interfaith, right? Where kids from different faith schools can all come together and spend a week camping, or, you know, being on a residential together, maybe with their families, I don't know. But, you know, my kids actually get schlepped around the country talking at seminaries for vicars and answering questions, and they do a lot of that stuff anyway. And because of the work that I do, they do have a multi-faith friends. But I'm just conscious that that does need to be a part of a young person's education. And I think actually RSY are also kind of aware of that and do bring in multi-faith voices and things, but it's a challenge.
Yeah, I think another challenge is just the world that we're living in at the moment. Well, I can only talk from the context that we're in, that my family, all families, are just really pressured. There's a lot going on. Like I don't remember doing extracurricular activities when I was a kid. I just did the youth movement and shore stuff. Whereas now, like swimming, football, Gabriel does drum lessons, you know, like he's busy every single night, really. And I do think there's something about shouting really loudly and proudly about youth movements and the unique space, because it's not just another extracurricular thing, it's an extended family, it's becoming into yourself. It's so important, and it's something I, you know, feel really passionate about in Manchester. And I know that Reform Judaism, it's at the heart of what it does and what it promotes, of trying to enable kids to step into that space. And I think I'm completely with you, Debbie. I think that actually for kids that go to Jewish schools like our son does, it's even more so. Like I want him to enjoy his Judaism. I want him to have fun. I want him to be like sitting around a campfire singing and just getting a tingly feeling of like how amazing it is. I want him to like make up songs about climate change and like, you know, come back and demand that we change the plastics, you know, whatever it is, all of that stuff that comes with it. I want him to have those experiences because I want him to leave school with his Judaism. I don't want his Judaism to stop when he finishes.
Not to mention the fact that he needs to debate every summer whether he's a British Jew or a Jew in Britain. It was things like that that, you know, never tire of those kind of discussions.
You've just reminded me of all the funny things I came home from camp with. And like you said, demand change. You know, I'm pretty sure RSY made me a teenage vegetarian. Yeah. And I used to create these really awful kind of pamphlets for my family about why vegetarianism was important. And oh, terrible. Embarrassed.
I was very pleased that at my dad's wedding last week, we were doing Birkat Hamazon and there were only 22 people at the wedding. So it was not like a extensive, it still managed to feel like an RSY dining hall singing Birkat, because the grandchildren had clearly imbibed the sense of like how Birkat Hamazon is meant to sound when you truly enjoy doing grace after meals. And that sense of making Jewish fun, right? And it just being, this is how we do things, this is what we do, is amazing.
Mazel tov, that's so lovely.
Aw, thanks, Kenny. I want to do a shout out also for the amazing RSY Bogrim, the older leaders, the older madrachim, who set up in parallel to RSY Netzer a summer program for children of underprivileged households in Hackney, because what they showed was that, you know, they were the privileged ones who, on top of their own privileged lives, were having these experiences in the summer, which were giving them the tools to kind of use in later life. And what they're giving summer after summer for a group of kids that didn't grow up in that environment, not only a time out of their own homes and the pressures that that brings, but also an opportunity to skill them up for their lives. And I just think it's extraordinary that they've done that off their own bat. And kol hakavod, well done to them too.
Yeah, and that's definitely the point that Anthony was making, that the values is about how it comes out in action, right? And, you know, Debbie going back and demanding change, I did exactly the same thing. Like all of that, all of the teaching and the experiences of being on youth movements is to lead to action. So people, we've talked about people's lives doing that. I remember like a really foundational experience was Anthony and I went traveling about 8 or 9 years ago now. Is that right? No, longer. I don't know. Anyway, like in a different era where you could just travel around the world and you just...
Before Gabriel, before, I think, PG.
Before Gabriel, BG. Before pandemics. Oh yes, it was way past that point. Anyway, so we found ourselves like drawn to being in North India with the exiled Tibetan community. And that's partly because, if you remember, we had quite a few of the youth movements, including RSY Netzer, had a real connection with Tibetan exiled youth. And I think that the Tibetan community could see what Judaism and these youth movements were doing in terms of embedding Jewish identity, sustainable Jewish identity, and the power it can do to bring communities together. So in these like hills in Dharamsala, in the bottom of the Himalayas, there's a little office, a Tibetan youth office. And there was pictures of the summer camps in like Wales of like Jewish youth movements and the connections they had as well. And that's, you know, that's what brought us to that space, because Anthony had the experiences of being with people in Wales, Tibetan young people, with our Jewish young people learning together. And it's kind of a reflection of what Debbie, you know, dream is, that continues and is amplified, because we all have something to learn. And it's about action then. You feel a connection, you've got a relationship, you get a good holiday to India, whatever it is. But it really matters. You know, you see the world in a different way. Your perspective is broken open. And I think that's the power of this stuff. It allows you to think differently, see differently, and hopefully act differently as well.
And if they need a rabbi on camp, I'm just saying I'm free.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I mean, I think that sense of community is really, really important part of youth movements, and certainly for all of us, I think, growing up in RSYNetza, that sense of community that we had there, as well as in our shul spaces and school spaces. And we've created a bit of community energy here at Rabbiting On, which has been fantastic. We love hearing your news and your comments. So please do keep them coming in. Let us know what you think and what you'd like to hear us talk about in the future. You can reach us on media@rjuk.org or at Reform Movement on Twitter. And please let us know your thoughts and your youth movement stories.
Yeah. And it's worth saying, isn't it, that producer Dan and yourself, Debbie, were part of the same RSY cohort. We were hearing some stories before we went on air about things that happened.
Not for public consumption.
No, I won't share any of the stories.
But there is the question of why is it that the Leeds, Manchester, Northern crew in RSY were always the cooler ones? Yeah. Like, shout out to Warren and Dave from my shift, right? Yeah. It was always about them.
Yeah, we are the cool ones. Correct.
RSYNetza, all I need. Islam is man, not alam, ki Yehudim. RSY! Goodbye!
Rabbit.